SpecFicMedia.com presents Consumption with hosts PG Holyfield, Chooch, Viv, and Christiana Ellis.
And we're going right now. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the kickoff episode for SpecFicMedia.com's second podcast, a little thing we're calling SFM Presents Consumption. Each week, our four hosts and a special guest will talk about the media we're consuming. And hopefully, like tonight, we'll have a guest that is also creating, and we'll talk to them about that. For those of you that are not familiar with our other show, Beyond the Wall, our Game of Thrones podcast, I'll start tonight by having our hosts introduce themselves, starting with Miss Christiana Ellis. How are you doing this evening?
Pass.
Pass.
Okay, seriously.
I was leaning in.
I'm Christiana, and I do podcasts and stuff. All my stuff is available at ChristianaEllis.com. I don't know what else to say right now, so hi!
Follow her on Twitter. Follow her on Twitter. She's always got good ones.
Yes. And
few and far between, but worth it.
She wrote a book that is on Amazon.com, and which is called Nina Kimberly the Merciless.
Yes, oh, yeah, the book.
The author. Miss Viv.
Hi, I'm Viv, a.k.a. Vivid Muse, and do Beyond the Wall podcast with PG and Chooch and Christiana, and an all-girl one that I do sporadically called Girls Rules, and then a stagnant family podcast with Chooch, my husband, my wonderful husband, called Into the Blender, and I can't think of anything else.
That's more than enough, lovely lady. And Chooch, the aforementioned Chooch.
That's me, husband, podcaster. Better known as bass player for the rock band Ditched by Kate. And woo! The podcasting and other stuff.
Awesome.
Magnificent stuff.
And I am PG Holyfield. I sort of started this website. Before that, I did a podcast novel called Murder at Abaddon Hill, which was published by Dragon Moon Press a few years ago, working on other things. But I love doing this podcasting stuff. Can't get away from it. And the Beyond the Wall podcast has been a lot of fun. Holy crap.
I have to get to the intro first.
There we go.
Now it's one of our shows.
And a staple of our Beyond the Wall podcast is the Asia song there. So.
It's Europe. Why do you keep saying Asia?
Europe. I don't know.
Anyway.
And tonight we have a special guest, Matthew Wayne Selznick. He. Young man, how are you doing?
We lost you, PG.
Right in the middle of the intro.
Dang it. Let me start over again.
Would you want me to introduce myself, PG?
I was going to say, Matthew was one of the first generation of podcasters who podcasted his first novel, Brave Men Run. And we have him on tonight. He's a musician, podcaster, and all-around wonderful man. And we're honored to have him tonight. So how you doing there?
I'm doing good. I'm hoping that I'm not cutting out as much as you are. But I'm here.
Dang it.
And I'm excited, and this will be fun. And yeah, here we go.
PG fakes it for dramatic effect. He likes to build suspense.
Yeah.
So he's really just there on the camera, just sort of.
Exactly.
Yeah. Holy exactly. Crap.
Yes.
I hate when that happens.
We're all being punked. Totally punked. This is all a ruse.
Well, if that continues,
we'll just tease you. We'll keep teasing you. Don't worry. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Anyway.
What's everybody drinking tonight? Take a chill pill, PG. Take a sip of something.
Oh, well, I've got Lagunitas.
Time for some fun.
A little something.
Little something.
A little something.
A little something ale.
That's a favorite around here, huh, Chooch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So format for this show, if I don't fade out, we're going to be going around the room, the virtual room, talking about the media we are consuming, be it books, television, movies, games, what have you. It's going to be a non-spoilery discussion. unless we're talking about something that's very old TV show, what have you, where we've reached a point where spoilers are culturally or mutually deemed acceptable. Then we'll talk to our guest about what they're doing.
Oh, no!
And I love you, PG.
And that broke up again, huh?
A little. It's okay, though.
And after the break, we'll come back for the spoiler section of the show. Any topics we have discussed where we want to get a little deeper into it, the guest and or hosts that want to drop off so they don't take part in that, don't get spoiled by anything, they can drop off and any of the audience members can obviously leave so we don't talk about that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. We do invite participation in the show, so if you're viewing, the best way to get your questions in is to put your questions in the YouTube chat. If you are watching or listening after the fact, then you can go to specficmedia.com and post on the page there for the episode. And on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And somebody else should talk now because I'm breaking up. So, Christiana.
On the spot.
So for the first thing we want to talk about, what would you like to talk about? What have you been consuming lately?
Well, I think my favorite thing I've been consuming lately is that season 5 of Cartoon Network's The Venture Brothers just wrapped up, and it is my favorite show. Aww. I just love it so much. It's it started back in season 1 as seemingly just kind of a parody of cartoons like Johnny Quest and with a little Scooby-Doo thrown in there and those sorts of adventure cartoons. But over the years, it has just grown to have such amazing characters and such a rich continuity, and it's just really something special. And so the seasons tend to be have long gaps in between them, which is kind of a bummer, but the show is so consistently great that I would rather have a great season every 2.5 years
yeah.
than a mediocre one every year. But season 5 just wrapped up, and it was really great. It was, I think, one of the best seasons.
Right on. So,
anybody else been watching that? I know Cheech and Viv, you guys have watched that.
We tried. It didn't stick. And every time I hear Christiana talk about it, I feel like I got to give it another try. It's like seafood. I can't stand the taste of seafood, but every time somebody talks about it, I want to try it. So now I'm going to have to try it again.
Well,
I'm the same way.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say I'm the same way. A friend of mine loaned me the first 2 seasons or 3 seasons on box set a while back. And yeah, it was cute, but has it gone beyond the sort of Hanna-Barbera, Johnny Quest parody thing?
How far in did you watch?
Like I said, season 2 or 3, I'm not sure.
You watched all the way through to there, though? Because if you got into season 3 and you're still not digging it, then it's probably not ever going to work for you.
I mean, it was funny enough. I just didn't. Maybe it was only the season 2, but what I'm asking is, have they gone beyond that? Is it deeper than just that sort of
as it got about halfway into season 2, they had built enough complexity in their characters and enough backstory that it really almost stops being about what are we parodying this week, and it's just about what's happening next with these characters. And that's when I think the show is good before that, but that's when it gets great, in my opinion. You know, I guess it's not going to be for everybody, but I sure do love it. And so I enjoy season 1 a lot, but it's second half of season 2 where it really grows fully into the show that I love.
Fun.
I watched season 1, and I think I watched season 2. Don't recall. And I remember enjoying it, but it was one of those things where I had like too many things I was DVRing and had conflicts, mm-hmm. and it didn't make the cut at the time, and I haven't gone back to it.
Well, if anybody's interested, I actually have started a podcast rewatch of it.
Oh.
We're very early on. We've actually only released 2 episodes of that so far. And we're doing 2 episodes of Venture Brothers per episode. We probably won't be recording that this week since I'm here instead of where I would normally be. But if anyone else wants to try watching it for the first time, you can watch it along with us. Although, in our podcast, we are not avoiding spoilers. We are considering it a rewatch, not a watch for the first time. Good. However, the show is somewhat immune to spoilers in the sense that almost everything in it is more about execution than specific plot details. And gotcha. So, although there are a couple of things that could be spoiled, really hearing someone describe what happened doesn't really prepare you for watching it.
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix or Amazon streaming? Or
Season 1 is on Netflix. Okay. I would hope that at some point they would get more, but right now only Season 1 is on Netflix. And anyone who might start watching it, especially the very first episode, the pilot, was done in Flash. So it's the animation is far more primitive than it becomes even just in the very next episode, which is the first episode of the season proper. And, you know, it's sort of an evolving thing. It takes a little while to find its feet. I still think it's great even then, but definitely give it a couple of episodes before you judge.
Right on.
Very good. Chooch, how about you?
Well, what have we been watching? Similar, I mean, going in the animation route, we've been watching the new episodes of Adventure Time.
Yay!
And it's been sort of, I don't know, they seem to kind of release the episodes in spurts. And they're really short, but...
Yeah.
So
why don't you explain what the show is, babe?
So it's on Cartoon Network, and it's about this young human boy and his dog, who happens to shapeshift. And they're in this magical land, the land of Ooh, that has lots of princesses and strange environments and magic.
Creatures.
And yeah, it's a very magical world. And it's a kid's show, you know, but it's just drop-dead hilarious.
I got hooked on it. I mean, our sons tried to get us to watch it for years, and it finally clicked, and we finally sat down, and it's, you know, it's otherworldly. There's actually a story arc that goes across the seasons, and we went through and watched them. We watched all of them in order, right? In season order?
No, we barely made it through the first season.
Well, they're, like you said, they're super short. They're like 15 minutes per episode, and some of them are freaking fantastic, and some of them are just really funny. That's as bad as it gets for us. It's only really funny. It is. It's really awesome. We have a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, I love Adventure Time. Also, I haven't seen the most recent episode yet, although I've heard it follows Marceline and Princess Bubblegum, which is great because I like those two characters, and I especially like their dynamic together.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I was a little disappointed. I saw it was a Marceline episode. I got really, really excited, and and Jake's suit was so funny. It was hard to follow up. So it's a decent episode, but it wasn't.
I thought it was good. It was different than, but it was good. Another thing that we're watching, Chooch, is we just went through and did a full rewatch on Arrested Development, and then we watched the new season on Netflix. And I, speaking for myself, was too excited about the show coming back. I'd waited too long. It was just too much anticipation. And so I was found myself, I think it was episode 3 or 4 that we were like, really? We're already getting kind of this cyclical kind of a thing going on, and everything is tying back to everything else, and everything is from a different person's point of view. And so to me, it was just more complicated and more, I don't know, overthought.
Yeah. I kind of agree. The structure of the latest season, they kind of went high concept with it, you know, where like each episode follows one character, and it's a time period that spans what other episodes are showing, and so it's not all in chronological order at all, and it makes it a little harder to follow. And I'm not sure. I liked it okay, but I wasn't sure that was the right call.
That was pretty much my biggest problem with it. Although I just fucking love these characters. I'm so happy to see them again. It is ridiculous how excited I get every time another face that was on the Steve Holt. There's a lot of enjoyment there, even if, like us, if you're a little disappointed in how they executed it, it's still so awesome to see those characters again. And honestly, Justin Bateman, he just gets better with time. Jason Bateman.
Yeah, that was my thought, that they had too much time to think about it. I think it's overwritten. They need to back off. And the self-referential is just to such an extreme degree, it just gets old seeing these scenes over and over and over again, and I get what they're doing, but it's like the self-references were so like spoon-fed. They used to be more like Easter eggs.
Now it was
just expected. Yeah. And I got a little sick of the Ron Howard Imagine Entertainment callbacks that just every single episode.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the dissenting voice on that. I mean, I haven't seen the whole new season. We watched, I think, the first four episodes in succession and then had to go to sleep and haven't come back to it. But
that's pretty much exactly how we did it, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to, you know, but yeah. I loved the fact that they took advantage of this, the fact that they're able to tell a miniseries that can be consumed all at once. I love the fact that they played with that and used that as a storytelling, as a structural device. Yeah, I thought that was, that's the thing that maybe turns some people off, is the thing that I'm enjoying the most out of it, just from a craft standpoint.
Yeah, that's great, but for 15 episodes, it gets old. That's my point.
I think it's a cool idea, but it's cooler in concept than in execution. Now, that said, I sure did like the episodes an awful lot. It's more just a matter of, would it have been better to see the approximately the same story told in chronological order instead of broken up that way? I would have to wonder. I did hear that someone re-edited everything into chronological order, and I'm sure that some of the jokes would be ruined that way because, some of it is, you know, leading us to believe something is true and then only revealing much later that it was actually different all along. But
it would be like cutting Pulp Fiction into chronological order.
There goes
the point. You know,
that's true. They probably lose a whole chunk of the season if they are taking out repetitive and putting it in chronological. I guess, and again, I totally blame myself. It's the same thing I criticize other people for. I really, really was too excited about this. My hopes were too high, and I even found watching the previous seasons before we watched this one, they were really fucking funny. Funny, but I didn't feel like, oh God, it's not like I laugh when I watch Archer, you know, or something like that. It's like ridiculous cackling the whole episode, and that wasn't happening, and could it be because we'd already seen all the jokes three times or whatever, but I mean, I'm definitely going to watch the movie, the next season, anything that they put out. I'm sold. It doesn't matter. I'm going to watch it. I was a little surprised at how little I enjoyed it. About you, PG, have you watched it at all?
Well, I'm being intentionally silent because I know I'm fading in and out. I can tell just by listening to you guys.
Aww.
But I'm like through season three, or I'm getting through season three. I did not watch it originally when it was on. I've been watching on Netflix and been enjoying it greatly.
Yeah.
I heard that while the storytelling turned some people off, just like the fact that they couldn't have all the actors around each other all the time, that was sort of a problem? Did anybody feel that was a hindrance with
it's
the way
it's pretty obvious in places and there's clusters of actors that you see together over and over again and you never see a bunch of others together.
Honestly though, that it doesn't thrill me, but I love when that happens, when it's so obvious that they have somebody standing in and then they cut to the next sentence and then there you see them standing face to face. So I almost see it as like being a part of an inside joke or breaking the fourth wall or having an in and knowing something that we're not supposed to know. That doesn't bother me. And I think that it's something that we're used to from the previous seasons too. Maybe I'm crazy because I used to be like, why are they joking around and having stand-ins come for part of the scene and then having both of them face to face? So it didn't occur to me in the beginning. And I thought, ooh, this is just kind of funny, you know? And it doesn't bother me. per se. But then, like I said, I've been adjusting to it since the show started. What about you, Matt? Matthew, Matt, what do you want to be called?
Whatever you like. People call me both.
Well,
anything but live for dinner.
I was going to say, I've never actually met you, so I don't know what you like to be called. So
hello.
Hi, it's good to meet you.
No, I think that thing you mentioned about, you know, breaking the fourth wall and everything, I think that's Arrested Development has always been so meta on top of meta on top of meta that, you know, are they getting too smart for their own good? I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment until I've seen the whole season, but I eat that stuff up. I love it because that's the point. You know, that's like, it's like the show about the show, really.
Yeah.
When you get right down to it. Yeah.
And it's cute the way they, or at least I think it's really interesting, innovative, the way that they drop in clips from the first three seasons, which was Fox, right? It was Fox?
I don't know.
Fox.
Okay, yeah. So Fox actually owns those first three seasons. So every time they show a clip from that, is that right, Chooch? Every time they show a clip.
Oh, the video thing. Yeah.
They'll show clips. They'll show clips from the previous three seasons that they don't technically. I'm sure they have worked something out, but it looks like it's an illegal drop in every time they show it. It's so cute.
Show Steeler Pro trial version or something.
That's
like
what
that.
It is. Yeah. I love it. I do.
That was pretty fun.
and I mean, obviously, I mean, like I said, I'm in for any of it. And I'm hoping that there's another season or the movie or whatever. I really hope that happens because I think that my sights are a little recalibrated, my expectations anyways. But God damn, I love seeing those characters again. Jessica Walters, my God. No one looks as divine with a martini glass as Jessica Walters.
Oh,
well, and the other thing is, too, like, just even if it's possible that expectations might have been too high, I would absolutely rather the season four exist than to not.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of like we talk when we do our Game of Thrones podcast, that their bar is like at a certain level. So even though, you know, I nitpick and didn't like it, it's still like an 8 compared to anything else on television.
Except for Gossip Girls.
Wow. That goes without saying.
I think I just learned something about my husband.
That he's gullible.
So I want to get a little bit back over to speculative fiction, and I think this would be a good kickoff here. Has everybody...
Aw.
Oh, there he goes.
Please repeat yourself.
Yeah.
And go.
We need Come to do here. A new audio drop.
Yeah. Has everybody watched Pacific Rim yet?
Yes, Pacific Rim.
Well, good. I think it is good that Matthew is here because he's written some kaiju stories in the past, haven't you, Matthew?
I have. I haven't seen the movie yet. Haven't really. This has not been the year to see summer blockbusters. The last big movie I saw was the big summer movie was Iron Man 3, which was at the very beginning of summer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm a lifelong fan of the kaiju genre. You know, I like Patrick, like you mentioned, I've got a story, Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Chimera Wolf, that is, you know, it's sort of the debut story in my Daikaiju universe story world. And there are going to be more stories there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can comment, not having seen it, I can comment that when I first saw the initial trailers, I feared for the worst. Because, and that's largely the fault of Trailer Park or whoever put the damn thing together. The trailers didn't know what they were selling. You know, like so often you think you're getting one type of movie. And the type of movie that I was seeing in the trailers was, oh, it's all the monster scenes are at night and in the rain. And really started to, and, you know, we were not, you know, today's the day we cancel the apocalypse. It's like, oh, it's going to be like that. Oh, man. But then I heard Guillermo del Toro on, I think it was NPR. being interviewed, and he talked about how this was like a love letter to his childhood, and, you know, it's dedicated to Akira Honda, and, you know, all this stuff, and it's like the movie he wants to make as a, you know, he's a 12-year-old making this film, and his ideas about how, you know, there's no military sense, you know, everybody is a ranger or a marshal, it's like more like an Old West feel. That there's never, and again, I haven't seen it, but based on the interview, that he deliberately made sure that you never saw any casualties. You just assume all these buildings that are being destroyed are empty. So it was more like a Saturday matinee thing, which is perfect. So I am excited to see it. I just haven't made it yet.
Well, it is true that almost all of the effects shots are at night in the rain, which was, you know, it would have been nice to have some mixing it up, because a little, you know, when you know a little bit about the background of the behind the scenes stuff, it's kind of like, well, that's kind of a movie producer's trick to make the effects look better.
Well, yeah, it's the we're saving money cue. Yeah.
But that said, you know, that minor quibble aside, I think the movie is excellent. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And, you know, with the trailers, it's a hard sell to the mainstream audience. You know what I mean? It's like when I was trying to tell my dad about it, because we went to the movies today and we were talking about what to see. And I basically said, Pacific Rim is a fantastic movie to see if hearing that it's about giant robots fighting giant monsters is all you need to hear.
Yeah.
If that is enough by itself to make you go, woo, then it's great. But if you're kind of going to like, I don't know, tell me more, then it's kind of like, it's not really going to give you more. That's really what it's all about.
For me, I'm kind of the opposite. I've never been into kaiju. I've never been into Godzilla. I've never been into any of that. It's just weird because I should be. It's one of those things that I should be into, but I never was. But for some reason, seeing the trailer, I got really excited about it. And then I went and saw it, and I really loved it. I mean, there's definitely things I didn't like about it. I didn't like pretty much any of the humans. I didn't care if anybody lived or died.
Ah, fuck the humans.
We were rooting for the kaiju.
The male lead was just so vanilla. I couldn't give a rat's ass about him. The scientists, they were complete cliches. Charlie Day. I love Charlie Day. I was really excited to see him, and I wanted to see him kind of, you know, stretch out a little bit, and he didn't. He was just
maybe the next movie, himself. Baby. Maybe the next one.
I'm always just happy to see Charlie Day.
I know
Charlie Day. That's really all I need from him.
Yeah, he was great, but it was still just him.
I don't know the story. I didn't see the movie. I was very disappointed not to see it, but I have neurological issues, so the flashy fight scenes, the shake cams, all of that stuff makes it something that I can't see in a theater. But I was very disappointed because when I saw that Charlie Day was in it, I don't mind if Charlie is Charlie. I love him. I don't care. I don't care. Killing rats with a bat, I don't care. I love him.
So. Not much tattoos, though. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Idris Elba and what's her name? Rinko Kikuchi?
Kikuchi.
They were both great. They all the scenes they were in, I really, really enjoyed. And I hadn't remember seeing her in anything since Brothers Bloom. She was Bang Bang. Which was great.
Oh, wait, character. What?
Yeah.
What? Whoa.
Bang Bang's in it.
Yeah, she was Bang Bang.
I also
have you guys all seen Brothers Bloom? Because if you haven't, you need to fucking see it. Oh my god, it's so I'm in love with Bang Bang. She's phenomenal. You guys have to see it. It's so good. Anyways, go ahead, Christian.
I was just gonna say Ron Perlman. You know, to be expected. I mean, it would be. There's only a couple Guillermo del Toro movies that don't have him in it, and it's usually only the non-English language ones. But so he's got a great part. Too. And I think that there's a lot to like about it. There's just some interesting ideas that, you know, it would have been easy to just leave, you know, to not have some of these interesting ideas, like this thing that the neural load of controlling the Jaeger is so much that they actually have to have two people like link minds so they can like see each other and feel each other's memories
emotions and stuff. That's just kind of a cool idea. And also just like this black market aftermarket on kaiju body parts was kind of cool. You know, and it makes perfect sense that that would be the thing. And but also just this idea that, for example, the rib cage of one of these fallen kaiju just has to become one of the new local landmarks because there's really no way to get it out of there. So
wow.
Yeah, and having lived with these things for – in the timeline of the movie, it's like a decade or something? Or,
yeah, yeah, I think it was something like 8 years is from – since the first kaiju is when we have the main story thing in place.
What's this?
Gojira! I was just putting up a Bob Eggleton Godzilla picture. Nice. It seemed appropriate.
I was going to say that looks like Godzilla. I didn't think Godzilla was in Pacific Rim, but okay. I can't wait to see that movie, though. I'm really excited for it to either hit the drive-in or the home screen so that I can watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even though I didn't really care about the humans, I still loved the story, and I loved the movie. I had so much fun watching it. It was well worth it.
My favorite part was the voice of GLaDOS.
Yeah.
In the
which I don't remember place. In the actual movie. I just
yeah, there's only just in like,
the there's like two little points where she makes an announcement.
The main Jaeger's whenever it was the computer voice talking it, that was when it was GLaDOS's voice.
Yeah, I like movies where they don't do credits until like somewhere into the movie. There's like 17 minutes of movie before you have the opening credits.
That always throws me so tremendously. It's like literally getting thrown off a horse when they do that.
That's really what they do with most TV shows, though. You know,
yeah.
That might even be why they do it, is folks are used to seeing that, you know, that opening 10. Mm-hmm.
Cold
opening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also liked... how silly this, you know, one of the sources of conflict in the movie is that there's concern that the Jaeger program will lose its funding and instead that people are going to basically just build a gigantic wall along the entire coast, which, you know, is kind of ludicrous, but, you know, what movie are we watching, right? But
just
the
bit.
Scenes that we see where...
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, I was trying to just mute her myself and be polite because I didn't know that was going to mute her for everybody. I apologize.
Shit, I thought I hit a button or something. Don't feel bad.
Did we?
No, it outed him.
Yeah, I know, but I unmuted you. You should be back.
Oh, I think now, she has to unmute herself.
Ah,
Christiana, unmute yourself if you can, if you have that.
I apologize, Christiana. I thought I was just muting you for me. Because I don't want to hear spoilers.
Am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Okay. I wasn't spoiling. I was just that's early on in the movie. All I was saying is that
I haven't seen the movie. So
okay. Well, all right. I wouldn't have considered that a spoiler at all. I mean, that's one of the early on things.
Well, but it's a good reminder because I frequently say things that I don't know are spoilers too. Until later when I get an email or a damn text message, PG.
All right, well, apologies if that seemed like a spoiler to anybody. I didn't feel like it. I don't feel like it.
I apologize. To me, a spoiler is just any plot detail. If you haven't seen the film, that's ruining the movie for you because, you know, that's part of the film that you haven't seen.
Okay. Can I ask?
I don't mean to be a dick.
If I can ask, because this has me thinking about the Avatar Last Airbender movie, that everybody that saw the series and loved it seemed to have hated the movie, and I have... only ever heard of it. My kids watched it. I saw an episode, maybe total time over the entire childhood of my kids watching it. So I have no, I just know, I recognize the bald kid. That's all I do. So when I saw it, I went in there with no expectations and I saw it with Chooch and our two youngest, or maybe all three of them. I think it was our two youngest sons though. And none of them liked it, the ones that had seen it before. And I thought it was a beautiful movie with fantastic casting and acting and the effects were cool. Do you find that kind of thing? Like we were talking about Arrested Development, you love it too much almost to be able to see somebody else imagining it for you.
I didn't ever see the movie version, but I do love the animated version.
And the perception that I had just from, you know, people whose opinions I kind of trust on the matter,
right,
basically said that it's not necessarily that the movie is objectively terrible on its own right. It's just that what's good about it is good because it draws from the source material, but the original does all of that better.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of adapting a story that has been told before, but adapting it not as well
is right.
The complaint that I've heard. And so one of the things too that I heard about it was that it just stripped almost all the humor out of it. Whereas in the show, there's a lot of humor that nicely contrasts the more dramatic parts.
It was a very dark movie. Considering that it's for young audiences, it was pretty dark. But that's kind of the standard now, too.
Hmm. Well, in the show, it's leavened with more cartoonish, lighthearted humor.
Gotcha.
But you should definitely check out the show, because the show is one of, I think, the best cartoons all time, and there's actually season 2 of the sequel series is starting in fall.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I heard very good things about that.
Mm-hmm. So was that Legend of Korra?
Legend of Korra, yeah. So Legend of Korra had season 1, and it's about the next Avatar after Aang.
Okay.
And so it takes place, you know, decades into the future after the end of the original series.
Gotcha.
And so it's really good also.
Cool. Again, I'm having technical issues, so some of the stuff I want to talk about won't be till next week.
Okay.
But I did want to get to Matthew, and he recently released to the...
Oh! Recently released.
He's just not allowed to segue. That's the problem.
Yeah, no segue.
Every time he segues, you're right.
I just can't talk. That's all. Anyway, so Matthew, talk about your sequel and about the Kickstarter campaign.
Oh well, sure. Gosh, let's see. Last year, almost a year to the day, I wrapped up a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter for my second novel, Pilgrimage, which is the follow-up to Brave Men Run, which folks who are watching this, probably that's, if anywhere, that's where they know me from. So that is the actual process of fulfilling the Kickstarter, which was successful, is just beginning to draw to a close. I sent out the last of the domestic shipments today, actually. And have some international shipments due next week. And then PG, his story, is one of the pledge rewards at the $50 level. Folks get a new Sovereign Era story from our very own Patrick Holyfield. And we're wrapping that up pretty soon, I promise.
Yeah, there were no selfish reasons for inviting you onto the show.
Put the pressure on. Yeah, no, well, because, again, for folks who don't know, PG contributed to the Sovereign Era Year One, which was an anthology book that I put out a few years ago. He contributed a short story to that. And so this new story from him will be a sequel to that, which is cool.
If you want to call it short.
Short for you.
That sounds like a compliment.
Yeah, well, I think it's about 62 manuscript pages long, give or take.
It's like 13,000 words.
Yeah. And what's hilarious is, he sends it to me, and I'm going through it, and I'm making comments in Word, and annotating things and whatnot. And shitload of comments. I felt like I was being a jerk after a while. It's like, what about this? And send it off to him. And what was it like? Like 2 hours later, here you go, done. Jesus Christ, at least take a day.
So you were excited about the writing. Hey, PG.
Oh, he's frozen. Oh.
It took me like 6 months to write it. So I feel bad that I made him wait that long.
Aww.
And well, I'm feeling bad that I'm dragging out the editing, but it's one of the many things that I'm juggling right now. But so Pilgrimage is out, and I'm excited about that.
So if like I like I myself didn't even catch the Kickstarter until it was over. How can people buy Pilgrimage now that the Kickstarter's funded and closed?
Well, my goodness, I'm so glad you asked. they can go right to mattselznick.com, and all the book covers are on the left-hand sidebar there, and folks can just go to the sales pages for any of those books, including Pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is available in Mobi and EPUB ebook formats in a paperback edition. Or if you order the paperback directly from me, it's a little bit more money, but you'll get an autographed edition of that. If you want, for the folks who haven't read Brave Men Run, you don't need to have read Brave Men Run to read Pilgrimage, but you know, why not get the whole Charters duology? You can do that in one piece. I put out an EPUB and Mobi omnibus edition, which has both books in it, and you can get that at mattselznick.com as well.
Awesome.
Now that was a segue.
Does the text of Brave Men Run, does it differ from the podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah, the current edition, the definitive edition of Brave Men Run, is revised and expanded. So the podcast edition, and it's funny because folks who are part of my Facebook community, they know that I'm debating getting rid of the free podcast edition of that first book because it is not representative of the product anymore. And it may not be the best introduction for folks coming into that story world. And the other thing is, frankly, a podcast novel is not really the most effective mode of promotion anymore.
I still like going back, though, and listening to the original, you know, the original podcast that went out. And there are, well, there are more authors than I want to admit to that I have actually archived the podcast novels, or even there's even some podcasts that I've archived because I just love the voices and I love that little snapshot. And even though it's a snapshot of what the story was, you know, I'm glad I have you on my archive. Go ahead and take it down. I got mine.
No, there's totally something to be said for that. And I do agree. And I haven't decided what to do yet.
No, but your reasons make total sense. That makes a lot of sense. It clears things up for new readers and stuff.
Hopefully, yeah. Plus, I'm there's a lot more acceptance of for-pay audiobooks these days too. So, and at least through ACX and through Audible, I'm not quite 100% sure that they would allow both.
Mm. Gotcha.
So that's another thing to weigh.
Right. You know? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, but Pilgrimage is out there, and I hope people check that out and enjoy it. And my next thing on the horizon is in late summer, I'm going to be launching a free serial fiction by subscription project called Walk Like a Stranger, Passing Through Home. And that will be weekly short installments delivered right to folks' email in a 52-part story.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you're on because I didn't know you had any of this stuff going on other than people are now getting copies of the sequel to Brave Men Run, and I missed that whole thing. But yeah, you've got a lot of stuff cooking.
That's my fault. If you missed that, yeah.
No, I miss a lot, honey. It's not you. It's me. Right, Chooch?
I thought we funded it.
Did we?
I thought we did.
I can check real quick.
Well, you know, this is where I probably need to tell you about my neurological issues, my memory. I freaking wish that was true because I just found another one. Well, there's two others that I missed, Penny Arcade ones, and then I just realized that the Velociraptor cannibalism game that Kickstarter funded that we did, I thought I had a higher tier than I chose, and I'm not getting the hard box game like I thought I was.
Aww.
I've got some major tears for Kickstarter right now.
Well, you could always just actually buy a copy too.
I'm totally doing that, yeah. Because for some damn reason, I just got the electronic version, and
Well, what I'm just saying though is that like once the Kickstarter got funded, you know, like that makes it exist. So you can always just go buy one now.
Oh, I'm totally I can't wait. As soon as she has it up, I'm buying it. Trust me. Sorry, Chooch. Forgot to tell you about that.
Shooch, I was checking, shame. But not to put you on the spot, but I'm not finding your last name in the list of backers.
No. He probably okay. told me, and I forgot.
Busted.
Nice try, though, Shooch. I totally bought it. And I was like, shit, what did I miss? Because the other problem I have with Kickstarter is I start getting the rewards in my inbox, and by the time I get to them, they've expired, and my freebies are gone and stuff, and it's just sad. I need a handler.
People let their Kickstarter rewards expire?
They go away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if it's something that's linked to... There's one that I'm devastated about. There's one I'm just totally wrecked. But I clicked on the link and it had been taken down. It just took me too long. It was like 6 months. It's not the author's fault. It's my fault.
Well, I mean, you could probably email them and ask for it, and they would probably do it for you again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know I did Marion Call's European tour CD thing, and I haven't gotten the audio from that, so...
That's the toughest part, is actually remembering to go and gather your stuff. That's there when you're ready to consume it. So, Matt, what are you watching right now? What's your big favorite consumption thing?
In terms of watching?
Reading, see, like anything, right? We can talk about any media, right?
Oh, yeah. Games.
Your choice.
Whatever.
Let's see here. To try to keep it on the speculative fiction tip. I'm re-watching the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
Awesome. Nice.
Which, I remember being a little fatigued by it when it first came out because it's so one note. Everything is always so intense, you know. So I'm re-watching it. You know, it's the kind of thing, it's like I'll take a break, you know, I work from home, so I'll take a break in the middle of the day and have lunch or whatever and just watch on my tablet and whatnot. And I'm still kind of feeling that, you know, like it's super one note. I put up on Facebook a few weeks ago that, like, at that point I was about halfway through season one. And again, this is a rewatch. And thinking to myself, this is the most well-filmed, best-acted, worst show I've ever seen.
The most perfectly executed piece of crap that's ever gotten my eyeball.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure why that is. And I'm going to watch it all the way through. I'm going to take it all the way through to the horrible, horrible ending. Because maybe, again, similar to like with the Arrested Development new season, maybe seeing it, you know, kind of like reading the graphic novel instead of reading the issues 1 month apart, maybe in one big lump or closer to one big lump, it will have more continuity and make more internal sense. So far, I'm not buying it. But
I mainlined that sucker. I think I didn't watch a single episode until like the last season, Chooch, or the last couple of episodes to see the season finale. So I watched like the whole entire library from the new show, and it was, I didn't have a problem with the continuity. It was very dark and it was one note, but I was all wrapped up in the excitement and found it compelling anyways.
Oh yeah.
So it's, I hadn't thought of it that way.
I think you watched the whole thing over the course of like 3 weeks to be able to catch the last four episodes live.
That would be exhausting.
Oh, honey, I was whooped.
You know, it's interesting. I think the one note aspect of it is something that, like, I absolutely adored the show while I was watching it new, and I loved it all the way through. I even liked the ending, and I know that a lot of people think I'm crazy for that, but
I'm jealous.
Be prepared to defend why I like it too if someone wants to hear that.
No, I'm right there with you. We can fight the world.
But what I have found though is that as much as I loved it passionately while I was watching it new, I really have felt no desire at all to rewatch it
since,
and I'm not sure why that is. Yeah, I've been some that I like rewatching, and that one I've just not felt the desire.
Yeah.
And that's important, I think. You know, if you put that much time, you know, investment into something like that, and then it's like, okay, I never need to do that again. That says something, you know, about the product itself. What? I'm not sure, but
it does still kind of live in my head, even if I'm not rewatching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been wanting to do a rewatch. We bought the Blu-ray pack with the Cylon action figure.
Ah, yeah.
And
see, I got that too. Even though open, right? Yeah, same here.
But I've been wanting to rewatch the whole thing.
Technically, I think we immediately unwrapped it to play with the Cylon, and then never watched
discs.
It. Oh, got you. Yeah, we wanted to make sure how, you know, we see how articulated his little joints
were. We're not mint in box people.
No. Hells to the no.
So, is there anybody else that wanted to talk about anything they've been consuming?
Ooh, can I add one more?
Absolutely.
Detective fiction. I picked up two books by a guy named Tyler Diltz. I'm reading this off the Amazon page because I don't want to get his name wrong. And he is he's a professor at Cal State Long Beach, oddly enough. I had no idea there was a direct connection with my town. But he's written these two detective books called A King of Infinite Space and The Pain Scale. And if you like contemporary police procedural, detective stories, cop detectives, not private eye, these are literary detective fiction. Super good. Very, very character-driven. The thing that I love about the genre, the best stuff in that genre, is that the point isn't solving the mystery or catching the bad guy. The point is watching the characters as the case causes them to change and grow, you know? Mm-hmm. And these are excellent in that regard. There's a definite through line from one book to the other with the main character. It's a first-person narration kind of thing. But I'm really enjoying these. I wish I hadn't finished the second one. I wanted to go on, and that's a good sign, you know.
That is.
One quick technical note. Do I look okay to everyone? Because I dropped out of the call, and now I see myself, but I don't see you guys.
You look
great.
You look gorgeous, honey.
Well, thank you. But, for some reason, like, I don't see you guys anymore. I only see my own image.
We're all smiling at you.
Aw.
Except PG. I think his screen froze on a growl.
All right, well, at least I can hear you. So
there you go.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the things. Oh, I guess we aren't going to have to worry about it. Never mind. Go on. Next.
I wanted to ask if anybody's watching Falling Skies. It's season finale is next weekend. Or this week.
It was a show I never got into.
Yeah,
something about Noah Wiley.
No, tell us if you want. Yeah, yeah. I watched season one, but I've only caught sporadic episodes since then.
I'm gonna tell him to be super careful about spoilers because I'm still pissed at him for watching it without me. So you best not spoil it, Chooch.
I watched the first two episodes when the agency I was working with pitched on promoting it with the studio, and I wasn't inspired to watch more. So tell us why it's great without spoiling it.
Well, I didn't say it was great. No, I really do enjoy it. I came very late to it. The current season was, I think, maybe four episodes in, and it's one that I don't even remember hearing about, but I was sick and I caught a commercial for it, and I'm like, oh, season three, where'd this come from? And I go and look, and it was on Amazon Prime streaming. And when I was basically home in bed for 3 days and got through the first two seasons and started the new season and really, really enjoy it. So it was created I was about to lie about it.
Please don't do that.
Mixed up with Defiance.
Oh.
Which is another interesting show.
I think it was 2010, right? 2010,
I
TNT,
so, yeah.
I think. Yeah,
TNT. Noah Wiley's is the lead, and it's an alien invasion story. The aliens have descended, and it's kind of post-apocalyptic, and you're following this small band of resistance fighters. And it has an interesting perspective because Noah Wiley's character is actually a history professor. And so through these battles, he's constantly bringing up history of other battles around the planet. Said, oh, well, they're doing this, so clearly we should do this because it worked for, you know, such and so. And wow. And they don't do it too heavy. it's more subtle than that. But so that was pretty cool. There's little things that annoy me with it. Some of the kind of, they seem like lazy writing to me. There's some things, you know, where the characters just are intentionally stupid about certain things. And there's these cycles where they keep repeating stupid mistakes, which.
See, just, that would be a deal killer for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not too many of them, but there's a couple areas that those things bug me, where they're intentionally blind to something. Seems lazy writing.
Well, I'll have to compare. I'm sorry.
Effects are good, and overall, I'm really curious because they keep amping it up. You know, no character's really safe, and they keep amping up with the aliens and the technology and the kind of the war. It's like, you know, the humans are ahead and the aliens are ahead, and it kind of goes back and forth. And that struggle is interesting. They've kept it interesting to me.
Cool. This isn't why I didn't, you know, keep watching it or anything, but I do have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about the show, just because I have a novel that I've never really released anywhere or done anything with, because I'm still not quite happy with it. But even though I had the rough draft of that before Falling Skies came out, and then Falling Skies came out, and I immediately noticed several really significant, superficial but obvious similarities to my story. And now I just know it's kind of like, now if anybody ever sees mine, they're going to think it's derivative of this, and that pisses me off. Even though it's really my own fault, you know. I mean, it's like I could still bring up, you know, because it's not the same story, but there's enough superficial similarities that when you're trying to just explain it to somebody, it sounds the same.
Well, I feel you. You can accuse me of ripping off Heroes.
Yeah, like I could see that. You know what I mean? It's like it is very different, but when you're trying to give a one sentence synopsis, it sounds similar.
Yeah, elevator pitch. And Christiana, I would say to that is you have a specific voice in your writing, so I think that a lot of us would find that interesting. So maybe you could take a pass on it and take a pass, edit, put it out there.
I've thought about that a couple of times, but the It's already in its like fourth draft, but I just keep feeling like I can't make my mind up whether to give it a complete total rewrite or not, because if I was going to change it at this point, it's not just more polish. It's like I would decide to fundamentally change the POV structure of the story. And so that would be a pretty dramatic rewrite. And so because I can't quite pull the trigger on actually doing all of that work, but I don't want to release it because I feel like that's still probably what should happen. So anyway, nothing else has happened with that yet so far, but that's my beef with Falling Skies, is that they completely unconsciously ripped me off.
One of the biggest downsides of the show to me is this actor that I just put as my picture.
I hate that guy. In everything.
I've seen him. Yeah. He was in Numbers and he's been in some movies, and he is just, I
loved him though, and what was the space Armageddon?
He's in every series at some point or another.
He's kind of just a one trick pony. And
which guy is it? I can't see.
Oh, sorry.
To what?
His name's Will Patton.
Oh, okay.
He's always kind of curmudgeonly and kind of. I don't know.
He's usually a bad guy, but sometimes he's a really grumpy guy that has a good heart, and it's just, it's
sort of like me.
Say no more.
PG, if you were like that, I would not spend a minute in your time at present. Not
I'm
one.
A grumpy guy with a good heart, though.
So. I will not out you as being not grumpy in real life. I will let you keep your curmudgeon, unless I just outed you.
You were breaking up, so I couldn't hear you. So.
You were breaking up.
Yeah, well, obviously, I was breaking up, and I couldn't hear you.
Matt's showing us something.
This was the other movie that I saw this summer. It's a documentary called Blackfish, and it's about SeaWorld and other marine parks, and how they capture and exploit the shamus, the killer whales that we pay our money to see, you know, play their tricks.
It's not about Brendan Tully.
No.
How did I fucking miss that? Damn it. 1 point for you, Holyfield.
You know, I'm not a big documentary guy, but we saw a couple of trailers for this on YouTube, and it was at the local little art theater, you know, a couple of cities away. And we all know that, you know, these marine parks are not the best situation for these, you know, 8-ton animals. But this follows a particular orca from when he was captured at the age of 3 to the present day. He's killed 3 people at 2 different parks. And he's still part of the show. Wow. And it gets into the idea that these animals are basically, because of their creativity and their emotion and their social structure, if you see a killer whale in captivity, it's crazy. It's literally crazy.
Insane.
It's insane. Yeah, it's psychologically disturbed. And so sorry to be a downer, wow. But this is really well-crafted documentary that will probably, I won't be surprised if we see it in the Oscar run next year.
I think I'm going to have to watch that, because we go to every aquarium that we possibly can, because we have such a fascination and love of all marine life. And it's kind of like the epiphany I had about the circuses and the animals there that are mistreated. I won't go to another animal circus with animals. And it just, I guess it didn't occur to me that there was no black, you know, there were no orcas at ours, but I mean,
there's a big difference though between an aquarium and a marine park. Aquariums, like zoos, are conservation and study, and they breed the animals, and they're, you know, trying to save them and whatnot. You know, marine parks are just, you know, they're basically, it's like a circus, like you said. And I'm pretty sure we don't have a lion taming act with the chair and the whip and the pistol anymore in the circus, but we're basically doing the same thing with these animals.
Wow. We saw a great documentary a month ago called A Band Called Death.
Not spec fiction, PG.
That's not spec fiction.
Sorry, man.
It's music. And it's actually currently available on demand if most satellite and cable providers have it on video on demand. But we happened to catch it. There's Alamo Draft House is a local theater that's an awesome, awesome theater. Have dinner, have beers, watch a movie. The documentary it's called A Band Called Death. And it was about these 3 brothers who grew up in Detroit.
During Motown.
Yeah. They were black guys. They were interested in, you know, becoming musicians, and naturally everybody wanted them to play Motown. But the who was it who came through? Oh, I can't think of the band now.
I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, it's gonna drive me crazy. Alice Cooper came through town, and
that's
they were
right.
Like, that's what we're doing. And
yeah,
they essentially recorded a punk album before punk existed.
Yeah.
And they got signed to this small label. They were able to record, I think, 5 songs, 6 songs, but they couldn't sell it. They couldn't market it. Nobody, because their band was called Death, and nobody wanted to buy an album from Death.
Yeah.
But
that was why. Sorry, go ahead.
No, they couldn't get anybody. They couldn't get any record company to distribute it. They couldn't get any airplay, so they pressed like 500 discs, a single, a 45,
45.
2 songs. They pressed 500, and you know they gave them away and tried to sell them, and nothing was really working. So they moved across the country, and they became like a Christian rock band for a while, and then they became a reggae band. And this whole movie essentially what happened was somebody. Like 8 years ago.
And it's not a spoiler. They tell you at the beginning.
Yeah, it's right in the beginning. Somebody 8 years ago found a 45.
Oh, maybe that's a spoiler.
What?
I was just remembering Matt's discussion earlier, but go ahead.
That's the whole point of the movie is somebody finds this 45 and like was just blown away by the music that was on it. And it starts making the rounds for audiophiles or record collectors. Making the rounds. Have you heard of this? Have you found this? And somebody posted one on eBay and went for $800.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now everybody's discovering this band, and they had the master tape and released a full album. And it's passed on a generation where the kids went on tour to play the music. One of the brothers died.
That's the part that slays me.
And it's just, it's a love story. It's a love story to one of the brothers. It's a love story to music. It's a love story to records. Great documentary, and the album is really, really good. I mean, Like I said, it's like 3-4 years before punk existed, and it's just this really solid album.
I'm checking out the website now. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
We really got lucky because we had been seeing adverts for it on demand and stuff, and then the Draft House just opened here about 2 or 3 months ago, and so they've just been hitting deluge with advertising, and we saw this movie, and it was like, holy shit, we have to see it on the big screen, with, and it was fantastic. What time? It was like a 10 o'clock showing, wasn't it, baby?
Yeah.
So we get there, and you immediately know the people that are there to see the movie with you because they're our age. They're old enough to appreciate punk rock, and they're, you know, wearing their jeans and their geek t-shirts or their band t-shirts, and they're all just kind of looking, eyeing, hey, yeah, yeah, all right, you're one of us, all right. And so we all just calmly go in and watch this fucking phenomenal movie. It's really powerful, and the Alamo Draft House itself, I think you probably said this, they did the distribution. So if you have one near you, you might be able to catch it. They've got them across the country here and there. But if not, then definitely check out the on-demand. I was not insanely crazy about the music, but I just got goosebumps and teared up when he was talking about the kids touring. So you really should see it. Even if you're not into music or punk rock, it's really a story about these brothers, and it's fantastic.
Nice.
This looks great.
And Alamo Draft House is so cool. Before a movie starts, like, they were showing Iggy and the Stooges concert footage and, like, all this.
It was glorious. Era.
And well, actually, that's where I saw Pacific Rim. And before Pacific Rim played, they showed, like, the original commercial for Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They showed Godzilla clips. They do this great kind of pre-show while you're ordering dinner and getting your drinks and stuff. Fun cinema.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Well, I apologize for my technical difficulties. A lot of the stuff I was going to talk about, we'll talk about next week. So if you want to hear about The Last of Us and Skins and Rogue Legacy, things like that, come back next week and we'll do this again. Matthew, thank you for being on.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck with the sales. I had not read the book, but I've read most of the treatment that you sent me when I was doing my short story, so I know it's a good story.
Most?
Dang it.
I catch the little
skimmed it. Yeah.
Ooh, maybe. Oh, you do the close. Maybe this can be something we can talk about at the end. If anybody's heard of the Pixar theory.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
We can tack it on at the end if you want to do the close out.
Well, I don't really have too much of a closeout to do this week since I'm breaking up. But again, if you would like to pose questions to us for next week, you can go to specficmedia.com. On the post there, we will be putting the phone number for the show. We'll have a new email for this particular podcast, and we'll have that posted on the website, and we'll announce it during the show next week when we have better connectivity on my end. So thanks everybody for listening, and we'll close it out with some, whatever you wanted to talk about there, Chooch.
So, there's a guy's name is John Negroni who did a blog post that expands on a video that was on crack.com. So crack.com had this video that said why all Pixar movies are secretly about the robot apocalypse. And they posit that every Pixar movie is one contiguous story.
Oh, right.
And they talk about it a little bit, but it kind of it breaks down because they weren't able to tie in Ratatouille or Finding Nemo or Bug's Life or Monsters or Brave.
Let him continue.
Yeah.
Because this guy eventually incorporated all of this.
Yeah, he did it. He went back and he tied every single movie together. He gives a timeline and the logic that explains how they're interconnected.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I read that thing and it's like it's the definition of too much time on your hands.
Yeah.
But it's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, it's like,
thank goodness he had too much time.
There's no doubt in my mind that none of that was like actually intended.
No.
It's not some grand conspiracy from Pixar.
No.
And yet you read the whole thing and it's actually pretty impressive how he's drawn all these connections.
Yeah. He even talked about like a a Pixar movie that wasn't even released that got scrapped halfway through production. And then talks about
How's this for blowing everybody's minds? It's one of the things from there is the witch that casts the spell in Brave is Boo from Monsters, Inc.
Dun, dun, dun!
And she's responsible for all of the Easter eggs that tie all the movies together. Because if you look,
obviously,
every single Pixar movie has an Easter egg for the movie that's coming next. And every single one has the Pizza Planet truck.
Naturally.
Of course.
Yeah, it's great fun.
But it talks about the evolution of artificial intelligence. It talks about a human apocalypse, sentient toys, talking bugs, how they all kind of interconnect. I thought the sentient toys was kind of the weakest point in the argument, but he made it work. And the timeline definitely worked. The way. It'll be interesting to see how the next Pixar movie is The Good Dinosaur, which is supposedly an alternate reality where dinosaurs didn't go extinct and have humans for pets. And it'll be interesting how he ties that in, because he made the other stretches. But
yeah. Well, they may be trying to break his brain now, too. They may be throwing
clearly
in the future. Yeah. You have that much time on their hands.
I just like the sentence, the sentient toys don't quite fit.
Yeah. I'll send you the link so you can put it in the notes and you can read it, though. It's really fascinating how he does it.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely worth a read.
And he's got it's all annotated now because everybody in the comments are saying, well, what about this? So then he's updated it all and it has a different color of the text. And somebody pointed this out. And actually, that makes more sense. And the people are trying to poke holes in his theory. And then you have all these other people in the comments that are defending him and like – referencing, you know, go to minute 15 of such and so, that's why that worked. And, you know, everybody's nerding out on it. It's a lot of fun. Like Christiana said, I have no belief that they did it intentionally at all. But I love the Easter eggs and finding the Easter eggs. And they pointed out a bunch that I had never noticed. That, like, Toy Story 3, that he has postcards from Ellie and from Up. From those characters, and like the tree that they have the picnic under and Up has been in like four different movies, and it's pretty cool.
Because it's an awesome tree. Draws coolness.
Well, thanks again for listening, and we will have a better experience next time from
now. No, it's not possible. We won't have Matt next time.
Well, yeah, we will have another guest. I'll leave that as a surprise because I haven't confirmed it yet. But we'll
No spoilers.
Fun for next week as well that might also have a book out right now. Anyway, so we'll see you next week on specficmedia.com presents Consumption.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Matt. It's awesome to meet you finally.
Likewise. I had fun.
Thank you for listening to specficmedia.com presents Consumption. If you'd like to send feedback, questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at consumption@specficmedia.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 704-981-1SFM. That's 704-981-1736. If you'd rather leave comments on our website, you can find posts for each show at specficmedia.com. This podcast is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported License. Feel free to share and remix, just give us credit and don't charge money for it.
Fight me, internet.
I guess you're done with the broadcast. I mean.
I didn't hear it go ding.
Yeah, it went ding. So, damn it.